All right, good morning, everybody. Hope you got your Bible. That was a hearty good morning, by the way. That was really good. Let's take our Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians in your New Testament. You got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians, and go to chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. If you need some words of comfort, you came to the right place today. You'll see where that comes in the message here in a minute, in the passage here in a minute. Anybody need any words of comfort today? A couple people, all right? Hey, this isn't the message, but this is important. This old world has nothing of eternal value to offer me and you. Nothing! And it doesn't matter what... folks here are a lot older than me that know this way better than me, but I've lived long enough to see you get really excited about something, and then here it comes, and then it's gone. And here you are looking for the next thing down the road that's exciting. And in the meantime, you're waiting. And then it's just a constant flow of highs and lows in this life. Can you imagine a time where there'd be no more lows? Only the highest of highs all the time. We're going to talk a little bit about this morning. So let's go to verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 13. Let's read down to the end of the chapter. 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, yeah, amen to that, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look at the last verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, those are comforting words if you're saved. Things are going to be way better one day than they are now. Folks, just got to say this. May not like it. Even if your candidate gets elected, it won't be as good as this event right here. This is a zillion times better than that. So don't put all your hopes in anything in this world. This event we talked about, we read right here, we're going to discuss this morning, is literally an out-of-this-world event. And it speaks of, if you are saved, you will depart from this world. And you will go to a place far better than this place. I've been to the Rocky Mountains. Anybody been to the Rocky Mountains? I've not been to the Grand Canyon. Incredible sights to see. God's creation does not even come close to what we are going to see up there. You ever seen streets clear as... It's gold, but it's clear as crystal, transparent, 100% pure gold. You ever seen that? You're not going to see it down here. You're going to see it up there. And then we can walk on that and see right through. I don't know if you'll see your reflection or you'll see right through it, but I don't know. Folks, there's a way better world that exists than this earth. It's heaven. The main feature of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to get a real glimpse of this? Read Revelation 4 and 5, all about events in heaven. And you read those two chapters, you find out that all the creatures that are in heaven are focused on one thing, and that is worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. That's it. So it makes me wonder about folks who don't like to worship down here. I won't say anything more about that, but that's what we're going to be doing. So how about you warm up down here? This is the warm-up for the main event, right? So hopefully I'll have some fun with this morning, and hopefully this will get you thinking about things to come that are far better than what we've got going on right now. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for another opportunity to read your word and to preach it. And I sure don't want to get in the way this morning of you doing some great work for eternity. And I pray you just get all of our hearts and minds in the right place this morning, focused on you and your words. May we be able to just forget about the things of this world for a while and really focus on much greater things to come for those that are saved, that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would receive the glory as you certainly deserve. You have laid all this out for us so plain, and you've brought all these people here to this place today, and we want your work to get accomplished here and nothing else. And we just give this time to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, probably be a good idea if, I've done this before, but probably be a good idea if I get, again, lay out some a timeline of future events. So actually past and future. So if you could pretend with me, I'll go left to right here. The wall here, let's put that as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's the moment, okay? About how long ago? About 2,000 years ago. So from the wall to right here at the side of the pulpit, this is the last 2,000 years. In your Bible, this is called, referred to as the time of the church, or we often call it the church age. Actually, your Bible also calls it the times of the Gentiles. Actually, a little beyond the last 2,000. But right here is the end of the church age. So again, from the death, burial, resurrection of Christ to here is where we are now, the church age. Hopefully, we're about right here. That means we're, if this is the end, we're right here and we're really close to the end. Amen? Because watch what's next. The side of the pulpit represents this. You ready? You ready? Okay. This edge of the pulpit represents what we just read about. Now, this is not a Bible word, but there's nothing wrong with this word because it's a good descriptive word of what we just read. We call this the rapture. You want to be real biblical? You can call it the translation, or even more biblical. We'll see this in a moment. You could call it the come up hithering. And I'll show you that here in a minute. But regardless of what you want to refer to it as, there is a day coming in the future where the Lord Jesus Christ will show up in the clouds, and those that are dead that were saved are going to come out of the graves. Those which are alive here on planet Earth will fly, literally, and meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, in the air. We just read that, and we'll talk about this. And then we go with Him to where He is, where He lives. We'll look at John 14 later on. I go to prepare a place for you. That's the place we're going. All right? So, rapture. Now, those who do not go in the rapture, that are not saved, are going to stay down here on this earth for this time period right here. We'll put the pulpit as the time period here of what we call the Great Tribulation. Or the Old Testament refers to it as the time of Jacob's trouble over there in Jeremiah 30. So here's the tribulation. The worst, the absolute worst time ever here on planet Earth. The Antichrist is in control. You're seeing just many events right now setting the stage for this time period here, the Great Tribulation. So remember, church age, rapture, tribulation. Now, you know what happens at the end of the tribulation right here? Now, we go up here. We're coming down here. And you know who's leading the way? The Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 19, on a white horse. He's got armies behind Him. So those who went up here will be in the armies that come down behind Him here. And from here to the wall, that's a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it the millennium, 1,000-year reign. So you're with me. We got church age. What's this? Rapture. What's this? Tribulation. What's this? Second coming and the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical order of events coming. So let's focus on this one for a few minutes, all right? First thing here. Now, we got to get the negative out of the way first. It's negative before positive in your Bible, isn't it? See, people want positive, 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 positive. It's got the negative first, and then we'll get to the positive here. Look at verse 13. It says something interesting. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye what? I want to talk about that word. Ye sorrow not, even as others which have what? Folks, we live in a world where people are full of sorrow, and they have no hope. Let's talk about sorrow for a minute. Go back to Genesis 3. Why? And this will answer a lot of questions here this morning. Why the pain and suffering in this world? Let's get the Bible answer to that. Why all these things happen that are just so sorrowful in this world? Let's get the Bible's commentary on sorrow. So first point this morning, we're just going to talk about sorrow for a moment. This life brings sorrow, and let's see why. Look at Genesis 3. I won't go into all the details here, but verse 16 is after sin has entered into the world. Adam and Eve have both sinned, and then we're going to look at the consequence of sin here. Look at verse 16. Unto the woman, He said, this is the Lord talking, I will greatly multiply thy what? And thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Look at verse 17. And unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In Sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So let me give you the short version of this as far as sorrow goes. Why did sorrow enter into this world? Sin brings sorrow. You all got that. Sin is the reason behind sorrow. So next time anybody ever asks you the question about why does God allow all these things that happen in the world that are so sorrowful? It's because sin brings sorrow. And we live in a sin-cursed world, don't we? Now there's the negative. There's the bad news. Let's go to the good news. Go to Isaiah 53. If we just stop there, oh boy, we have no hope. But let's see why we do have hope. Isaiah 53. Sin brings sorrow. Take a look at this, though. Isaiah 53. Look down at verse 4. If you know this chapter, this is a prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Actually, back up to verse 3. 53:3. You'll see this word sorrow show up here. Speaking of Jesus Christ, 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of what? Isn't that something? A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know who the one that came along and bore your sorrows and mine? You know who that was? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down there at verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of who? Us all. That's you and me. Folks, the sin bearer, the one who bore our sorrows, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin, sorrow, if you stop there, is no hope. But let's go to the next S. Sin, sorrow, how about the Savior? The Savior came along to bear your sorrows. The Savior came along to give you salvation through the price that He paid on the cross. There's hope because of the Savior who bore your sorrows. Amen? Go over to 2 Corinthians. Let me show you this. Speaking of sorrow, if you're saved, you know a few things about sorrow because it's very likely it is sorrow that led you to get saved. I sure hope it was sorrow that led you to get saved. Take a look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Go down there to verse 9. And look what the Apostle Paul tells these folks in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 7, look at verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly matter, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Now watch verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to what? Salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh what? Folks, God allows you and me to get sorrow, to have sorrow enter our life so that we will see what we really are. And we will see what this world is really about. And that should drive you to seek the Savior who bore your sorrows and offers salvation. See, there's hope if you're saved. Again, I think I've said it, Pastor said it. I understand why there's so much depression and so many people with problems in this world. This is a sorrowful place we live in. And without Jesus Christ, people really do get to the place where they say, this life is not worth living. And you know what? I get it. Because without Jesus Christ, there really is no value in this life, is there? You're going to live for yourself. You're going to get to the end. And you're going to leave it all behind without Jesus Christ. And so many people enter into eternity every day without Jesus Christ, having built wealth, having built this incredible life here on earth that they left behind when they died, and they got nothing to show for it in eternity because they rejected God's only begotten Son. Folks, sorrow should lead you to salvation, understanding that this world has nothing good to offer. But the Lord Jesus Christ does. Amen? So let's take a look at this. Go back to 1 Thessalonians. And let's look at the next S here. You know, I try to alliterate here, and your Bible sometimes just lays it out real clear. We have sorrow. Let's look at the next S here. If you take a look there at verse 13, we're going to get 13 and 14. Actually, 13 through 15. Let's take a look at it again. It says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which, what's the word? Sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I noticed the word sleep there in verse 14. Asleep in verse 13 and verse 15. So let's talk about sleep for a moment. What is this about sleep? Is this referring to what we all did at least for a few hours last night? What do you think? No, you're on to it. Let's let the Bible tell us here. Okay, so the Lord tells us here in 1 Thessalonians, there are those which are asleep, them which are asleep in verse 13. You see that? Them which are asleep. And then it tells us not to sorrow over them. And then verse 14, it refers to them also which sleep in Jesus. And then it says at the end of verse 15, it says the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. What is this about sleep? Okay, let's let the Bible define this for us. We've been through this before, but it's been a little while. So go back to Psalm 13. The Bible speaks of sleep. It does not always refer to you spending a few hours in bed. That could be the case, but that's not always the case. So let's let the Bible define the term for us here. Psalm 13. You know here, if you come to this church, they've been here a while, that we do a lot of turning in the Bible. And the reason why is because we want to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And that's the Bible way to do things. Can you imagine if I just pulled out my favorite commentary this morning and read from that and said, this is what this guy said. It might be right and it might be wrong. So how about we get the best commentary out? The Bible, right? So take a look at Psalm 13. Scripture with Scripture here. 13:3. Watch this interesting verse here. Psalm 13:3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of what? Isn't that interesting? Notice in that verse, sleep is connected with what? Death, all right? Now go to John 11. Let's let a situation here with the Lord Jesus Christ. This will help shed some light on what it means in 1 Thessalonians about them which are asleep and them which sleep in Jesus. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now, you probably know this account about Lazarus. And go down to John 11. I won't read the whole account here, but go down there to verse 11. They are told that Lazarus has been sick. And then look what happens. Look at verse 11. 11:11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them. So this is the Lord talking here, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. All right, so you hear the Lord say that Lazarus is asleep, you would probably respond the exact same way the disciples do in verse 12. Because you know what they're thinking? Oh, he's just asleep, he'll be fine. Look at the verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Watch what the Lord says here. Verse 13. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Okay, hold on a second, folks. Is Lazarus asleep or is Lazarus dead? The disciples think, like they often do, like we do oftentimes, physical realm only. Sleep means you lay down for a little while, right? Remember, the Lord often would say things, and he would be referring to spiritual truth by using physical examples. So look what the Lord says next, verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Okay, look at the next verse, verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And if you know the account, the Lord Jesus Christ goes to Lazarus, and what happens? He raises him from the dead, or you could say, he raised him out of his sleep. Now think for a moment here. I don't want to sound morbid, but this is just the way it is. When someone passes away, the way that they are laid in the casket is the same way that you would lay if you were asleep, right? Same way. And when they are laid to rest at the cemetery, the same way. In fact, isn't it interesting? People often will say they are laid to rest whenever someone's buried. Isn't that interesting? Now, for the saved, that grave is not the end. Amen. And this is why, go back to 1 Thessalonians, this is why Paul said, hey, those people who you knew that were saved and passed away, don't sorrow. You will see them again. And he describes an event coming that is just incredible. So look here. He says there at the end of verse 13, ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now look at 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Notice even in verse 14, it says Jesus died and then rose again, and then it refers to them which sleep in Jesus, which is a reference to those who have what? Died. Those that were saved, that died. Now what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He died and rose again. You know what everybody who's saved that died, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to rise again. All right, let's take a look at this. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Just a little more on this. You know, it's nice to have at least a couple of verses to go along with whatever it is you're teaching, just so you can prove it. You got to be careful about somebody who stands in a pulpit and just says a bunch of things without trying to show you from other scriptures. Watch out for that. And that's, again, one reason why probably many of you are here today. It's one reason why Jerry and I decided to attend this church. But, hey, that fellow in that pulpit, he's actually going to prove his point with the scriptures. It's the way it should be, right? All right, verse 20. That's a foreign thing in our world today. Shouldn't be, but it is. All right, verse 20, 15:20. Now, you know this chapter is the great chapter on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it does for those who are saved. Look down here at verse 20, 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and watch this, and became the first fruits of them that what? Of them that slept. That's interesting. 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You notice the two groups there in 22? In Adam, and what's the result? Death. In Christ, what's the result? Made alive. That's an easy choice, isn't it? Are you alive? If you're in Christ, you're as alive as you possibly could be. Look at 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So notice that the Lord Jesus Christ set a pattern when he rose from the dead. He died, was buried, and rose again, setting a pattern for everybody who's saved that dies and is buried, they will rise again. A little more on this. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Love these verses. You talk about some hope. You talk about the greatest hope. 3:20. Go to Philippians 3:20. More on what happens at the rapture. Now, probably 10 years ago, I'd read this verse, and it doesn't mean to me today what it means. It didn't mean to me 10 years ago what it means to me today. I've noticed here, particularly in the last 10 years, and some of you could say a whole lot about this, my body's wearing out. My body can't do what it could do 10 years ago. And you back up even 20 years ago. Man, I could do a lot of things I couldn't do now. I can't do now. Look at 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for who? The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You looking for him? I mean, if you think about it, folks, before I finish the verses there, if we're right here at the very close to the end of the church age and the rapture is the next event, maybe, not maybe, surely, we should go outside. Right? You know what we often do? I'm guilty. Often say, you know, down in the dumps, mad about something that happened, you know. Maybe he's up there. I put a verse in the bulletin today from Song of Solomon. If you read that, it's about the connection between the bride and the bridegroom in Song of Solomon. And it says over there in Song of Solomon, he shows himself through the lattice. Which makes me wonder sometime. Maybe get a little glimpse. I doubt it. I don't know. Nothing wrong with hoping though, right? Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that you'll see him up there. I don't know. But he's definitely coming. I don't know if he's going to preview or not, but he's definitely coming, so I know that for sure, so why not? Why not just take a look up there? Maybe today. That would be a great habit to spend 3 minutes a day. That would be a great habit for all of us to just start right now, today. Go outside and just gaze. Maybe now. Maybe before this 3 minutes is up. Folks, is this real? The Bible says it's real, and I know that people think we're crazy for believing it, but that is real what's going to happen. There's a day where if you're alive when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up in the clouds, you're going to actually leave the ground. Like Superman? No, better. No, better than Superman. See, faster than a speeding bullet? This happens in the twinkling of an eye, faster than I could snap my fingers. From here to there, now look at verse 21 and see what happens. This is why this is so exciting. More on why it's so exciting. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his what? According to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know what happens between now and here and there? In 1 Corinthians 15 it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Just like that. This old rugged, sin-filled, cursed, sin-cursed body turns into a glorified body like that of Jesus Christ. That's the great hope we got, folks. So people you know that are, like your Bible says, asleep in Jesus right now, they're coming out of the grave. And if you were to die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, it says in 2 Corinthians. And you also will get out of the grave and have a glorified body one day. And if God chooses to keep you alive here until He returns, can you imagine? Now, here's something really exciting. Can you imagine being the generation of saved people? You ready for this? There will be a generation of saved people who never face death. Amen. Now, you say, am I going to be a part of that generation? It depends all on the timing of this right here. And when I die and when you die. But can you imagine? There will be a generation of people. You ever study Enoch in the Old Testament? What happened to him? He never died. Folks, what a great thing that is. And I don't look forward. I don't look forward to death for this reason. Usually death is associated with pain, right? And that's why I don't look forward to it. But can you imagine? There will be a group of people, a generation of saved people that are alive when the Lord returns that will never have to go through that. Amen? Wow. Go back there to 1 Thessalonians. Let's get a little bit more on this. Let's get this last thing here. We had sorrow. We had sleep. Let's get this last thing. And this is exciting. It goes right along with what we just said. Look at verse 16. Look for the word that begins with an S. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a what? A shout. There's the last S. Point number three, the shout. And notice there's actually three things that happen here. A shout, number one, with the voice of the archangel, number two, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So notice the shout, the voice of the archangel, which is who? Who's the archangel? Michael, often associated with Israel in your Bible. And then it mentions the trump of God, and then it mentions the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then it says, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Remember that. Caught up together with them, that would be the dead in Christ, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I love this last part. And so shall we what? Ever be with the Lord. You understand why I said at the beginning, comforting words? Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If you're going to be able to escape this place, that's pretty exciting, wouldn't you say? Getting out of this dump we're living on right now? Amen. Couple things about the shout. Go to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. It's good that the last 6 months have been the way they have, because it's made saved people long for what's up there. See, I'm guilty. I was tied to things down here. And I tell you, the last 6 months, like, oh man, when's this going to be over? When's this going to... Oh, 2 more weeks. Oh, 30 days. 15 days to slow the spread. Everything will be back to normal. All this time, right? And finally you say, I've had it, man. You guys are lying to me. I'm just going to look for the Lord to show up in the air so I can get out of here. You know, isn't that better than all this nonsense we're facing right now? Sorry, I'm a little... Here we go. Psalm 47. How about a shout right here? Psalm 47, look at verse 5. This is an interesting verse. These little verses you can compare to what we just read. And man, it sure does make things interesting. Look at verse 5, 47:5. God is gone up with a what? The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Does that sound a little bit like what we saw in 1 Thessalonians? God has gone up with a shout. at the shout, according to 1 Thessalonians, who else is going up? We are. Thank you, Miss Katie. We are. So you say, well, who's going up, the Lord or us? Well, the Lord comes down, but only to the clouds. We meet Him there, and then we go with the Lord up. All right, go to Revelation 4:1. I always like to speculate on this, so you don't have to agree with me. But go to Revelation 4:1. I wonder what the shout might be. Here's a guess, and it's a biblical guess. Again, I'm not going to say this for sure, but this is something fun to think about. Revelation 4:1, you folks in our Revelation study, we talked about how this right here in Revelation 4 is a picture of the rapture. It's really neat. Right after all the churches are mentioned. Look at 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a what? There's that trumpet again, a trumpet talking with me, which said, what's the next three words? Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And that's John talking. Do you know what happened to John right there? Boop. The rest of chapter 4 and all of chapter 5 are John telling you all the great things in heaven. So I wonder, what if that shout is, come up hither! I'd be all right with that. Did you know that regardless, if that's not the words, there is a shout. And who's shouting, by the way? When the Lord opens His mouth to shout, there's enough power in that shout to get everybody who is saved out of the grave and everybody who's alive here on earth that's saved up there. I'd say that's the most powerful words ever. That shout has more power in it than everything you ever imagined. Isn't that something? All the Lord's got to do is shout. Boom, and what power that is. See, people think we're fanatics for thinking the Bible is the most powerful book in the universe. If God's Word can pull everybody up like that who's saved, I'd say that's pretty powerful. That's more powerful than any magnet. That's more powerful than how about this one? The gravitational pull of the earth. You know what it does? It just keeps you down and down and down and down and down. I could jump right now, I'm coming right down. But there, I will go up. And that gravity no longer has control over me. You know what that says? This earth no longer has power over me. This earth is a dump anyway. Like I said, it's sin, cursed, and rotten. No longer here, man. You see? The shout's coming. The Lord's going to show up. We got something to really look forward to, I would say. Don't you think? How about go over to Revelation 11? And here's why I say there might be something to this. Three words that we saw over there in Revelation 4. You folks in Revelation study, we just were here a few weeks ago. Look down there at 11:11. This is about the two witnesses, and I won't go into all the details. But if you take a look here at 11:11 and 12, it says in verse 11, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now, this is the two witnesses. Look what happens to them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Those two witnesses, you know what happens to them? They're raptured. They go up, and that's sometime during the tribulation. There is some sort of a rapture there during the tribulation of those two fellows, those two witnesses. All right, now, one more place here. Let's go over to John 14, and we'll just wrap things up here this morning. We had the sorrow, and I'm so glad that we left that way behind. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, there is no sorrow. And then we talked about sleep and how sleep is only temporary. I mean, in death, as far as if you're saved, that body is only in the grave temporarily. And go over here to John 14. Let's just put all these pieces together. And before we read, I'll just say, it said over there in 1 Thessalonians, comfort one another with these words. I really hope. I know that reading this and studying this, what a great comfort. And again, the more sorrow you face in this life, the Word of God and the words in the Scripture here that we read become even more comforting. I tell you, just the last week, some of the things that Sherry and I have seen at our school, and it's a Christian school, some of the things that have transpired are extremely grieving. And it makes me mad, to be honest with you. I just get really spitting mad about it. And that's one way to handle it. But you know how? What does that do? Doesn't do anything. Here's a better way to handle it. Deal with it, looking forward to a better day. Because everything that is sorrowful and grieving here on this earth is only temporary. And that is why God will give you the grace and endurance to go through it, because it's only for a short time. Got to remember that. Yeah, I know it stinks right now. There's all kinds of stuff. All of us, we could go around the room and have a complaining session like you wouldn't believe today. And you wouldn't be just complaining. You would be telling about all the things in your life that just are really rotten and they stink, right? And not, you know, how many of you can say something's not fair in your life right now? Come on now, come on. Anybody? Yeah, this is just not fair. I can't believe this is happening. We could all do that today. And we, you know what that does? If we just let that fester, you just get, like I was saying, you just get spit mad. And it does nothing for the situation. But if you get into the Word of God and allow these words to do what they're supposed to do, comfort you, you'll have the ability to ride through the storm that you face on this earth. Because it's only temporary. We've got to remember that. Anything you got to go through on this earth that is difficult and unfair and unjust, it's only for a short time. And by the way, the Lord will sort out all that unfairness, won't He? And see, I got my ways I could do this. I got all kinds of ways to deal with people that are unjust and unfair. I could take care of them. The Lord says, stop it. You can't take care of those people. I can, though, and He will. You just got to give them a little time to take care of it. Amen? All right, I needed to hear that for myself. I needed to say that to get that off my chest. There we go. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be... Anybody got heart trouble here? Hey, everybody's got some heart trouble. It doesn't matter if you've been to the cardiologist or not. This world is troublesome. And it will cause you to have... And I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about spiritual heart trouble. But look with the Lord. Nothing like the Lord to set things straight. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Now watch this. In My Father's house are many what? Only in a King James, by the way. And a couple other versions. I'll take the mansion. Okay? Rather than anything else would be subpar, right? In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now watch verse 3. Find the rapture in verse 3. It's incredible. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see it in there? He's coming, and we're going to meet Him, and we're going with Him to a way better place than this place. Look at verse 4. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And watch what happens here. Thomas. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Oh, what a great question that was. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Folks, there's a way better place than what we've got here. And what a day it'll be to meet the Lord in the air. And how great it'll be to be with the Lord for all eternity. So much better than what we've got here. Doesn't matter how much money you got. Doesn't matter what kind of house you got. Doesn't matter how much a paying job you got. Doesn't matter anything you got down here. Not even close to what we got up there. Focus on, as Colossians says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. If you set your affections down here, the Lord Jesus Christ said, this down here, laying up yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth what? Corrupt, and robbers break through, and if you got something nice, it's going to wear out or it's going to get stolen. You can't lose anything up there. Nothing can be stolen, and there's no rust. Can you imagine there's no rust up there? I can't even fathom. Nothing wears out up there. You don't have to change the oil in a car up there. You don't have to fix a car up there. You don't have... Here you go, ladies. Apparently, you don't have to... There's no dust up there, so you don't have to clean up there. Amen? And guys, too. Some of you guys do that thing, too. Over there in 1 Thessalonians, it said, at the end of the chapter... Comfort one another with these words. Do you understand why those words are of such a great comfort? If you're saved, that's you being described there about meeting the Lord in the air one day. If you're saved, this is you who the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of preparing a place for you. Folks, these are words of comfort. Now here's what you do. Take them and continue to be comforted as you go through your week. Don't rely on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Come on. God gave you a book. If there's comforting words in here, surely you can find them. and read them and study them. Because, see, you might be on, I'm on a little bit of a high right now. And maybe you are too, because this is exciting stuff. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to come down. And I'm going to need this again to keep me straight. And so are you. Make sure you spend some time allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to give you the only comforting words this world has to offer right here in this book. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given us here at this church. What a blessing to be around such like-minded people. What a thing it is, Lord. You've greatly blessed and poured out your blessings on us, particularly these last 6 months, how you've allowed us to just continue on, and we just give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, there's probably some folks here this morning that have been sorrowful. I pray they just pour out their sorrows to you, give them to you, knowing that only you can take care of them. Pray you just encourage folks that are down right now. Encourage folks that have been in a situation where things have been unfair, and help them to realize that you're going to set everything straight one day. May we not be caught up in the nonsense of this world, but truly be caught up in the remembering the rapture's coming. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.